just so grateful for this beautiful community, God, for this county. Lord, we are so thankful for our elected officials. God, we just ask that you would bless them, that you would have your hand on them, and that you would give them wisdom and discernment as they take part in running the community, and that their hearts would be set on you and on your people. And so, God, we just are grateful for this time. We ask that everyone be blessed and that everyone would be able to travel home safely this evening once the meeting is complete. We thank you for all your good provision. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Join me in pledge allegiance, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to thank everybody for coming out. Entertain a motion to accept the minutes from the previous meeting.
Motion to accept.
Second.
Motion been made to accept and regularly seconded. Sarah, call the roll, please.
Allie.
Yes.
James.
Yes.
Randall.
Yes.
Tony.
Yes.
Teresa.
Yes.
And Tim.
Yes.
All right. The chamber.
Yes. I put a schedule of events at all the council seats. The one thing is not on there because that is all chamber events, but UofL South Hospital and the Bullock County Health Department are having their annual Healthy Hearts Luncheon on the 13th, and that's going to be at Croquette Springs Conference Center. Their attendance is down. I don't know if it's just because of the weather and people haven't registered, but if you're interested in going to that, I would encourage you to go ahead and get signed up for that. And then please pick one or two of the chamber events and come to that also. Thank you.
Thank you, Nina. Appreciate you. Library.
So I want to thank Councilwoman Preston for making sure that our coffee chats that just started at the London Junction branch was posted on social media. That's every Friday at 10. So invite you to come out, any community members that want to come out and talk to not just the council people, just have a general conversation about the community, about history, anything in general. That's what we are kind of there for, is just the community together. And you are the first ones. These are hot off the presses. We just got these at 5 o'clock when I left. So literally, you get them on, that's they're all bundled together. We were lucky enough to win a grant from the Kentucky Science Center and the Fund for the Arts to have science and play to go at the Central Library in our play space. This is a STEM learning hub, area for 8 and under, but anyone can really come in. It's bringing the first floor of the Science Center to the library. So instead of having to go all the way downtown to the Kentucky Science Center, you can come to Central Library and you get the same experience there. It starts on February 14th. It'll actually be there before then, but their big thing is February 14th with the big ribbon cutting on the 19th. And it's completely free. It's all there. It's got all the things for them to build all the way to the ceiling if they wish, and store for them to act like they purchased their shapes and sizes and colors, as well as bubbles and all kinds of things going on in the library. So this is the first ones to get that. Hope everybody can come out. It's all the way there till May 30th, which is our Summer Quest Summer Reading Program kickoff. So you have plenty of time to come and see it, but it'll be fun. Come see it more than once. Okay?
All righty.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I attended one of the coffee mingle deals. That was pretty good. I had opportunity to answer some people's questions.
Good.
It served its purpose. I appreciate it. I'll be there this week.
Every Friday, 10 o'clock. All
right. Judge Summers, update on the county.
Sure. Hey, Mayor Dangerfield, Council, thank you all for letting me bounce in here tonight. And I've been making my annual rounds. I was here last year, 2 or 3 years. London Junction's always been near and dear to me. So if you guys want to, get out there where you can see this. Safer and stronger than we've ever been, and that's basically because we've used smart management. We're fiscally responsible leadership. We've balanced the budget year after year after year. Mr. Rahill's been a big part of that. The second bullet on there is $5.4 million in federal grants for just infrastructure on water. I'll go through all the projects in a few, plus an additional $5 million of that. Another $5 million on top of it for that nice 31-inch, 18-inch line running through the middle of the county. We've lowered your property tax every year since 2019 from 9.7 to 9.0. We paid off $26 million in debt. And we're the largest county in the Commonwealth of Kentucky that's debt-free. And that's a statement of fact. You guys can look at that any way, shape, or form that you want to. We've strengthened our Bullitt County overall financial position as well. Oops, let me back up here. This is quicker than mine. Thank you, Adam. Major infrastructure projects. Your roads are always claimed for this reason. What we've done, we've literally completely modernized our road department in the last 6 years. We bought a $500,000 paver that's truly state-of-the-art. It'll go from 10 feet to 22 feet wide. We bought 4 triaxle dump trucks, outfitted them, $350,000 each. We bought a roller, lift truck, over-the-road tractor, low-boy trailer, Massey Ferguson bushwhacker as well, and 11 light pickup trucks, as well as some grinders as well. This is some of the equipment. It's all shiny new. We bought Kenworths and IHs that we didn't buy any junk. And every piece of equipment up there is paid for.
You make Kay get out there and run it during the day?
Absolutely. And believe it or not, Kay can.
That was the first Kay.
Kay can drive it, Joel. You might find that hard to believe, but we put it in the Christmas parade last year, too, along with the dump truck, and put some boxes in there for Santa Claus to let the general public know what we do. You can see the new, what I'm going to say, shredder, too, that we have. I forgot to put that on there. And back to infrastructure projects, something that we did do. We ran 1 gigabyte, a 10 gigabyte public-private partnership with Windstream and Connect. It was a $6 million partnership. The federal grant was for $6 million. We received $2 million through fiscal court, and Windstream got $4 million. But that partnership, it services the area all the way from Shepherdsville to the Nelson County line. It's just absolutely fantastic being able to bring jobs to the area. Here we go about the water projects. Rummage, Vaughn, Grigsby, and all in, $2.1 million. Row Hill was $2.2 million. And we put 4 grants together for that. Eagles Road, $300,000. John Lee, another $450,000. Cedar Creek Lane, $248,000. And then the regional transmission line, the 34-inch to the 18-inch. We did a $5 million pass-through on that. So we really had $10.4 million in infrastructure money. But all those projects right there, where we ran the water, the residents, all they had to pay for was from the meter itself, not the meter, to their homes. They didn't have to pay a nickel to have that line run down the roads. Infrastructure project, again, animal control, just as important as people. That's a groundbreaking. I think you should find your mayor in there somewhere. And then the April 6th flooding, you can see how that's literally an island. No matter what some of the comments were on Facebook, we didn't build it in a floodplain. We made sure we knew what we were doing. We raised that up. We even raised the road up afterwards. That building will never flood. And that's as high as the water's ever got there since 97. That's the facility itself. It's designed for future growth. It's state-of-the-art. We've got 34 stainless steel kennels in there, but the building will be able to add another 20 on the other side of the building, the right-hand side, if you're looking at it. It has isolation areas, a walk-in bath. It's pretty cool. If you get the opportunity to go down there, they'll be happy to give you a tour, give you a handful of treats to keep the residents happy as you're going through, okay? And again, a little bit about animals. This is one of our new state-of-the-art 550 ambulances. It's a thing by the employees, adopt a pet. Economic development. We've attracted good paying jobs through smart infrastructure investment. The fiber optic water and sewer projects. We'll talk about those sewer projects. I did give City of Shepherdsville and Mayor Cabrera a shout out the other night because through KIPTA, we were able to get them a $21 million grant for their sewers. Not a bond, but a $21 million grant. And Larry is your all's representative to that, the mayor is, and he knows how that works. We supported major developments. Grand Reserve, we're going to be breaking ground out there this April and May. We have a master developer for it, UofL Health, K can't say enough about the new hospital and what they're doing down here, along with the Brown Cancer Center. We helped McKesson refit. They lost all their COVID vaccine to UPS World Health. So now they literally distribute the plasma to almost the entire East Coast in their facility at 61245. Jim Beam's not really closing, guys. They're going to expand. They're bringing in new employees to the Research and Development Center, and that's a real kudos to our county. And then UPS World Health. Can't say enough about them. That's a new building down there on 61. Show you this here. That's the retool in the McKesson. UPS World Health has 100,000 square foot freezer. And that's why they have literally all the vaccine for COVID and many other vaccines that has to be stored in the environment. And 100,000 square feet is huge. The power we had to get through and work with Salt River to be able to maintain that freezer. And those two big LP tanks you see out front, initially it was for heating the place, but they're keeping them active because, as we say here today, there's gas throughout the whole county. They turned all that back on. The gas line is finished. I was going to announce that in court tomorrow, but you'll be the first to hear that. So they'll be taking on all new customers and supplying them with gas. Again, economic development. Can't say enough about the hospital and the Brown Cancer Center. Hospital is something that we worked on as an administration and partnered with all the mayors and everybody else in this community to make that happen. Brown Cancer Center, no different. Economic development, the Grand Reserve. Grand Reserve is going to happen. Folks want to know why it hasn't happened. Well, on the bottom right, you can see where we had to raise the firehouse. We had to move animal control. They've done planted a literally small fortune in magnolia trees to where they're going to start doing the work behind them. And like I said, we have a master developer now that's going to be announced to Tom Barr and Louisville, their magazine, the Louisville Business Magazine. They asked for that consideration. But it is going to be a great facility. The restriction that we have on that is a county. Anything that you see at exits 121, 117, 116, 114, and 105 will not be at that exit. So it's going to be totally unique. We will have a world-class, what I'm going to say, welcome center there as well. This is all four of them put together. This is the collage I built for a venue that I had to do the other night. Public safety. Where I came from, the employees and the safety of our people were number one. And this is the way I've treated this county since the day we walked in the door. We were the fastest community to ever get a HIDA grant. And for those of y'all who don't know that what that is, that's high-intensity drug trafficking. Our sheriff's department's able to completely fund to the federal government a officer to work with the FBI, part of the FBI, DEA, Homeland Security, Kentucky State Police, and the National Guard to seek out drugs and any other thing that's illegal. Emergency services. Our 911 call center, the day we walked in the door, I had $2 million worth of radios, and we couldn't use one of them. And that is literally something like you would see on the deck of the Star Trek Enterprise. We work with MetroSafe. We can communicate with all of our first responders, can communicate with all agencies in our area. They can communicate with the hospitals, and it's a countywide service, and we spent $6.5 million there, and again, that's 100% paid for. Back into emergency medical services. Lebanon Junction's always been near and dear to us. You can see what we did over there. We partnered with the mayor and the council, and we built a standalone EMS facility here. We can house two of our state-of-the-art ambulances. That's living quarters for the personnel that we bring down. And U of L Health patient facility is there as well. And with that patient, outpatient facility, they say that they're fairly busy on Wednesdays. So starting this month, they're going to start seeing folks with heart ailments or heart problems on Mondays. It'll be the appointment only. We also did an agreement with West Point, really the Hardin County Fiscal Court. We built a station, or leasing a station in Nichols, Kentucky. We're 6 to 8 minutes from downtown West Point, driving normally. Both those two areas are, they don't demand a lot of what I'm going to say emergency runs for EMS services. So we combined the two together to where who's ever in the area takes care of the West Point. Emergency management, again, a state-of-the-art communications center. Emergency management, it's a symbiotic relationship with every fire department, first responder unit, and Bullitt County. In that center there, if we put you in one of our ambulances, I can watch all your vitals on a nice screen like this till you get to a hospital. We coordinated efforts there for the shelters, the April 6th flooding. If we hadn't had that facility, we would have never been able to rescue, coordinated the efforts to be able to rescue the 100 plus residents in this end of the county and western Nelson and north central Hardin, especially down at Boston and Colesburg. There's some of the snapshots. Again, y'all can see some of yourselves in there from the day we broke ground at the EMS Health down here, what the facility looks like today. And then this is the emergency medical services. You can see it's not all fun and games. Those are some of the picture on the bottom right is our newest ambulance that we just received in. We have 10 state-of-the-art ambulances. We have 6, 3 in the junkyard. The one on the left, you can tell that's exactly where it's at, the bottom left. We have 3 that we put on .gov. One of the military ambulances going over to Bullitt Central to their tech school. As we're teaching an EMS class over there for certification for the seniors who are graduating. We also do the same thing to JCTCS too. Dispatch, there you go. There's the Star Wars. 105,000 calls a year. And we run 6 operators there, where before, when we walked in the door in 2019, we could only fund 3. And we have 6 operators every shift there. They work 12-hour, 24-hour a day shifts. Emergency Management Center, same thing there, which is adjacent to it. This is where all the coordination was. Adam was part of that. Some of the other folks in here, Terry and them during the flooding. I know Larry was up there as well. So it's a great venue. We do a lot of teaching and training there. We just recently hosted some statewide classes for the Kentucky Emergency Management as well. This is some of their equipment. They got a portable command trailer that was down here. This is the flooding. You can see the lows. The first responders down there, I can't say enough about my old company, Jim Beam. They produce 2 or 3 really nice meals along with the Lincoln Trail Ad District came in and did the same thing. Larry and his crew here, the sandbagging that they did. We had to use our brand new trucks, our trucks to block the roads in Shepherdsville because we couldn't get a lot of help from the state. This is a collage that we put together. There's the first responder group there for the luncheon that they had, sponsored by Beam. Parks, let's talk about things to do. This is down at Nichols. The Dawson family donated us 14 acres. Maybe 2.5 years ago, that was all wooded and sort of junky back in there with fences. I don't have pre-shot, but what we did do, we cleaned it, we constructed a really nice pavilion, parking, we made it into a nice recreation area. Maryville, the disc golf course that we put in, it's nationally acclaimed. It's the second highest east of the Mississippi with play. And what I mean by play is we have folks coming in from all over the eastern side of the United States, and I have clips and stuff on that I can bounce in here, and you can fact check it. We reworked the public pavilion as well. This is something that really means a lot, should mean a lot to everyone in this room. We're preserving our history. The iron furnace, historical. We side bridge, parking, fencing. I could really get into this here for a minute. There's a 15-minute video by David Strange. The last 2 minutes of it shows the entire area. So when the kiosk comes online, we're going to put this on our website. Please go to that, bulletcounty.com, fiscalcourt.com, and you can see the entire 15-minute video because this is a snooze part of the presentation. But it explains all about how iron furnaces work. Collage, you can see the entrance down here on the bottom right to the park. We built all that bridge, fencing all the way in and around the facility. Infrastructure for 2026 and beyond. Widening of 245, which has started this year. We're widening East Blue Lick out by the McDonald's across the street from the Cancer Center and Hospital. 44 East, we've started on that as well. You've seen that on the news. From 31 East to Spencer County Line, it should be done sometime around 2030, at the latest 2032, because we were able to get a federal grant through KIPTA to clean up the park from Eden's Church Road to Spencer County Line. And they have a few more rules in the state. We got the design funding for Highway 61, which is from the Salt River Bridge in Shepherdsville all the way to Highway 245. But then it also includes from the elementary school here in Lebanon Junction, working with the mayor and the folks here in previous administrations, all the way down to the Nelson County line. And then Greenbar is used as a cut-through up in Mount Washington. We have funding to Safe Streets for that. Talk about MSD in the north end of the county. We've got a $28 million grant sitting down in Atlanta right now through KIPTA to improve the sanitary sewers up there, because the north end of the county is under an agreed order. We have a $9 million grant sitting down on David Osborne's desk right now as part of that to improve the sanitary sewers up there also. Recycle. This is where we're at with the recycling. These are the things that we recycle. There's a list of where all the locations are. And moving forward, the projects that we talked about, clean water projects, the parks, hospital. We got a shell up there for 20 new rooms on the second floor of the hospital. We're going to be starting either a fund drive or an opportunity to do those 20 rooms. And literally it cost $1 million a room to make one of those rooms work. So it's a $20 million expansion. And the Brown Cancer Center should be online this fall. Again, these are our main projects for future revenue for the county. This is some of the things I do, and this is some of what I really want y'all to understand. I just don't sit in my office. I'm the chairman of KIPTA this year. I was chairman last year and the secretary treasurer 2 years before that. And that's the Kentucky Regional Planning and Development Agency. I work with 13 counties in Kentucky and 2 in southern Indiana. And what we do, we approve all federal grants that comes into our communities. My basic responsibility is the MPO, the metropolitan area, which is Jefferson, Odom, Bullitt, Clark, and Floyd counties in Indiana. I'm the board member to the Kentucky Association of Ag Districts for KIPTA. I'm the Transportation Policy Committee Chairman on the Judge Executive Association. I'm a legislative board member. Bull County Health Department, I'm a board member. I know Larry was a part of this, Tom Barr, most all of you in here, Terry. We coordinated all those efforts during COVID every Monday. We had a call with about 30 folks, of which we facilitated to make sure we were all on the same page. We fed over 106,000 seniors at their homes. Bull County Extension Agency, board member. Knox Regional Development Authority, I'm a board member on them. I want to have them up here to Active Heroes in April. And then also I'm the chair of the U of L Health Hospital Board, too. So I'm here to take questions, comments, concerns. I've been down here over the years. We have really, we made a commitment as an administration in 2019 or 18. Lebanon Junction wouldn't be forgotten.
say I appreciate everything you're doing for us. And Lebanon Junction, pretty obvious. We struggled to have an ambulance in the area, and now we got what we have. And it's all because of the fiscal court and moving forward. And there's so many projects coming up that, as he spoke on, that we're into Kipton. I vote on the board up there on some of that. I go to all our meetings, and we got a line coming through town, and all that's coming up and in the makings. I've been mentioning it off and on. And the judge and him really supportive of us on that, and that is federal grants for us also. With that, I thank you very much, Judge. Appreciate it.
Thank you all for taking the time to listen.
Ready. Sign in sheet, there's nobody on it. Matt Curtis, our engineer.
Name who may have said that to me, but anyway, we opened bids today on the Highway 61, Preston Highway, where we're extending an 8-inch water main down through there for a development. Again, this project's being funded 100% by the developer, like we had established a couple projects ago. Bids came in line. The low bidder was actually from Bardstown Trademark Excavating. We had five bidders on it, so I don't have previous experience with that contractor, so we'll do a reference check in the next week or so, come back and give you guys, okay, we're good with them, we can roll. But we are inside the projected budget that the developer had previously agreed to. So once you all take that action of approving it, if you do, I'm being presumptuous, but if you do take that action, then we'll present the amendment to the MOA where they will put forth the money in escrow in the city's account to fund the project, and the project can move forward. So just give you a little bit of update there and go from there.
Well, I like the idea that was discussed and presented to y'all now. We have the bids in. To not just jump up and go with a low bidder until you have some history on his work in progress. A lot of them we did have in the past, but not this one. So
yeah.
Holding out a little while might assure us a better job in the end. But at least know we're going to get the one we need.
And the things I saw on the resume, it looked good. But you know, we've got to do our due diligence before we present that to you all to make sure that's the case. Everything's above board. So. That's all I've got, unless you guys have any.
Y'all got any questions? Thank you, Matt.
All right, appreciate it.
All right. Matt's been hanging around here since 3 o'clock today to do that. All right, under old business, we have the first reading of Ordinance 2026-1 on the mayor's pay.
Yes, sir. Ordinance number 2026-01. An ordinance establishing the compensation for the mayor of the city of Lebanon Junction, Bullitt County, Kentucky, be it ordained by the city council of the city of Lebanon Junction, Bullitt County, Kentucky, as follows. Section 1, the compensation for the mayor when he or she begins their term of office on January 1st, 2027, shall be the sum of $2,000 per month. Section 2, all ordinances or parts of ordinances in conflict with this ordinance or any part of this ordinance are hereby repealed. Section 3, should any section, clause, line, paragraph, or part of this ordinance be held unconstitutional or invalid for any reason, the same shall not affect the remainder of this ordinance. Given first reading at the regular meeting of the City Council of the City of Lebanon Junction, Bullitt County, Kentucky, on the second day of February 2026. Given second reading, voted upon at a regular meeting of the City Council of Lebanon Junction, Bullitt County, Kentucky, on first week of March 2026.
Any question?
Any questions or any comments or anything on that one?
What?
Just our first reading.
First reading. Yes. And the second reading we'll have the next meeting.
March the 2nd.
What is it?
March the 2nd.
March 2nd. I didn't have to bring the phone. Okay, we now have the reading of the ordinance number 2026-02.
Ordinance number 2026-02, an ordinance establishing the compensation for the city council persons of the city of Lebanon Junction, Bullitt County, Kentucky, be it ordained by the city council of the city of Lebanon Junction, Bullitt County, Kentucky, as follows. Section 1, the the compensation for members of the City Council when they begin their term of office on January 1st, 2027 shall be as follows. The compensation for the City Council person shall be the sum of $200 per month. Section 2, all ordinances or parts of ordinances in conflict with this ordinance or any part of this ordinance are hereby repealed. Section 3, should any section, clause, line, paragraph, or part of this ordinance be held unconstitutional or invalid for any reason, the same shall not affect the remainder of this ordinance. Given first reading at the regular meeting of the City Council of the City of Lebanon Junction, Bullitt County, Kentucky, on the second day of February 2026, given second reading, voted upon at regular meeting of the City Council of Lebanon Junction, Bullitt County, Kentucky, on the second day of March 2026.
Any questions or discussion? We have that one on the same, on the first meeting in March. Alrighty, under new business, just so you'll know, it's on y'all's papers there. The city is working with a local agency of FEMA to help recover the costs and efforts of the city during the ice and the snowstorm disaster. The record has been kept up on that, and everything has been laid out for us to continue forward, trying to get all that back. And I'd like to thank all the local churches and businesses that opened their warming shelters for the disaster. Without losing the power, it wasn't as bad as we thought it would have been. It could have been had we had the icy situation instead of the pellet ice. So, but they was there for us, and that's great. Like, thanks to the plowing crew, city, county workers, first responders, and working endless hours to keep the town and the city safe, the county safe. I myself know we were down there 48 hours from Saturday morning straight through. The men, they slept in shifts because I didn't want anybody out in the trucks or on the plows too long without having the rest that they needed. So they elected to sleep in their cars, in the buildings, whatever they had to do, and they kept rotating back and forth. And I was out riding around Saturday night, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and then I'd go home for an hour and come back out. And we fought it all weekend, and I think it showed. Our city was one of the cleanest areas you could ask for, because any direction I went in, I ran into more snow than we had. So our people have done a tremendous job. The fire department, they hang over there. They was there the whole time. The EMS, the police department, Terry was out riding. Everybody was doing their part, the due diligence. So for the staff that we have, I think we outperformed a lot of people that had a lot more. And I can't say anything but how proud I am of the way they handled it and how, what was done. And the people that needed help got it. And it just, I can't say enough for them. And then they really put out, like I say, in 48 hours, they put in a lot of hours. So with that, again, thank all of you. And thank all the residents for being diligent and standing back and not getting out on the road, giving us the opportunity to do what we've done. And some people naturally are going to call down, fussing, you ain't got my road first. But when it's coming down behind you as fast as you're cleaning it off. But in the most part, everybody was really, really good with what we did. And I ran into people from the other counties when I was out riding, going towards Colesburg the best I could, and they were doing their part. It was just, we weathered the storm for what it could have been. And to know we did that in behind a flood that we had, you seen the pictures a while ago, Lebanon Junction stands fast for everything we do. You can't ask for no better than with God. The city of Lebanon Junction is paired, moving on, with red line data. Our current water and sewer program will be soon offering the credit card payment online option to see paperwork from red line data in the folder. Y'all have that? We've been talking about that for a long time. I'm going to touch base on it a little bit. It's been a lot of harsh feelings about the fact we could not pay by credit card or what have you. But so many things was changed in that office that you never see. And for these ladies to step up and do what they've done, and everybody, I mean, we went from a DOS system on the water bills to getting our bills made up from somewhere else. And I mean, we've established all the computers in there, and the ladies got a really good toehold on it. But I personally would take the blame for it being put back as far as it has, because I didn't want to throw no more on them than I thought they could handle as professionally as they should. And they have done that job. They showed it. And I've said in the past, I jokingly told people, well, I'll have you come in and pay your water bills. I like seeing you every once in a while. And it was true in a way, but in the same token, we now are ready for this, and I've said the entire time that with redline, it's going to happen fast. I didn't come to y'all and asked about signing the paper for it, because we agreed a long time ago to go with redline, whatever we had, and that is the last option that we will need to conform to all the stuff that we need at this time. It could change in the future. But we have the first things come in already. We have the credit card stuff going to be coming in. As you see in the paper, it's going to be, there's always a charge if you have a credit card, and it's going to be passed on to the consumer who uses the credit card. So y'all have the papers in front of you. Any questions on it?
I'm sure there's going to be some pushback on it, but I think it's we needed it.
Well, I mean, it's a needed item. I mean, it is. It keeps people, where they pay online, they can get it paid from different services. I've told y'all before, the worst advocate I have against me not doing that in the past has been my daughter, because she pays several late fees because she don't want to come down here.
And I've seen those late fees.
Yeah.
I've witnessed it.
I've said it before, jokingly, but it's true. She'll write the check as soon as she gets the bill. She lays it by the refrigerator. I go in the back door and see it while I'm up seeing my grandbabies and what have you. You want me to take it and all that? I'll get it down there, along with $27 next month. So a lot of that will be offset and it'll be done. So, but we do have a really good source with Redline. It's done nothing but top of the line. They answer all our questions and they have us walk through it. And like I say, between the occupational, the taxes, the water bills, all that has changed. If you was in there and you come down and you seen it, you would understand it better than me just telling you. And this will be the same way. And I'm sure when we do it, we have a few glitches with it, but we will work it out and it will be something that will be done. And I'm proud to say that that's about the last thing that we need to innovate up to right now to make us as Levin Junction small town state of the art as anybody would need. So with that, we'll move right on. Any questions? No questions. Alrighty. Tourism grant applied to us again this year to help us get the festival. Normally $1,000, we take that to help pay for the bouncy houses. On that, I want to touch base with the fact that we're scheduling up a festival meeting. Anybody's welcome to join that and come over and meet with us. And with that, we put together the group that handles all the backdoor stuff that's needed to be done as far as the food, the bands, and we've been working on the bands already for a street dance that's going to be coming up. So it's a chore, and if anybody's worked with it before, you know. And then we've been really, really fortunate for the people that's donated to us to have a festival that's mostly for the part paid for. I mean, it's never ran us a lot of money. And I look for this year to be a bigger and better one than it has in the past. With our last year, to me, I feel like we had one of the greatest parades we've ever had. I mean, it was long and lengthy. And being in a parade, you don't know how long it is because you're stuck back there somewhere. So, but anyway, I'm looking forward to it. Y'all have any questions on the festivals or anything that's coming up? And not have anything wrote on the sheet, I'd like to go ahead and thank the council last month for agreeing for us to put this new floor in. So it's been needed for a long time. We've been holding out, waiting on that, and we did it within our people, put it all in. It's based in there. The only place we got to do is in the kitchen area. So it went over, and the material, as I said before, was around $7,000, and the labor and stuff was per our workers. So it didn't cost us as much as I thought it would in the long run, so that's great. And I look forward to Dare to Care working with us, not trying to burn it up. But as I said before, if by chance they do spin the tars and burn up a piece of this, I have three boxes still in the back room and we can peel one up and put one back down. So it's going to be ugly, compassionate to where we can restore it back. All right, so that's about all I have. Council, y'all got anything right this minute that I've talked on as far as, okay. Terry.
Everything's going good. We had 181 runs for last month. Other than that, everything's going good.
Right, and our officer, one of our officers has had surgery, Jim Puzzard, and his lady friend that he's lived with for a long time, she passed away. So we was at the funeral home Saturday for that. And while we're talking on that, I believe Bob Bryan passed away. So keep that family in your prayers. And I just got here from the funeral home. I'm off base a little bit here, but what's on my mind, I went over and seen Billy and Phyllis Myers. For those who don't know it, and I know a lot of you don't because you're too young, the old post office down here where her shop is, Phyllis was the postmaster there for years and years. I'd say probably in the high 30s, years of service. And she passed away last Saturday, I believe it was, in the a.m. Billy, her husband, he went home, went to his daughter-in-law, stepped to daughter-in-law's house, and he died the same day.
Wow.
And he has had the wind out of his sails, God love his heart. He is the one that lost a son over on 434 just a few years back that the tractor turned over on. So with his son gone, his wife dying, he died the same day when he got home. So that's where I've been this afternoon, the funeral home. Terry, is that all you got? Adam, Chief?
We had 35 runs last month. Two of those were fires. We had one on Church Street and one on South Preston. So, and like the storm and the snowstorm, we have people there 24 hours a day, upstaffed and all that. So, we took delivery for a new training prop that's down by the sewer plant. So once it warms up and all the snow melts away, you can go down and look at it. It's got the roof prop and the Denver drills. You can bail out windows and all that. So Orrin was able to secure us a $29,000 grant through the fire commission. So we just took delivery of that. Orrin, so everything's going good.
Well, thank you, Chief. Orrin, pleasure to see you here tonight too, buddy. Appreciate you. Caleb? Waterworks.
First off, we had a 11% water loss this past month. Luckily, we only had one water main break so far. Cheers for that. Let's see. I had the guys go around, around like the light poles and whatnot, and if there's any kind of brush around there, just kind of knock them back, cut them up, haul them off, kind of clean up a little bit before all that winter storm stuff came out. Obviously, we've been working around the clock, plowing, salting roads, whatnot. We did have the plow fixed on my truck, so there's an extra plow now to help out quite a bit. We had some downtime, so we went up to the cemetery and, just kind of straightened up a couple of headstones here and there, kind of picked the ones up that were laid over on the ground, picked them up.
Okay. Well, again, Caleb, I appreciate everything y'all done because I know you're down there every night fighting, trying to get everything together. And we had a salt spreader damaged and what have you, and the insurance company has stepped up and said they're going to pay their part, and we'll go ahead and get it and be reimbursed to FEMA for that. And we've already got that located and going to be brought down here. So, is that all you got?
Yes, sir.
Council, James.
Just to echo that, you guys all did a great job out there throughout this whole thing. Seen them guys multiple times up my way, so doing a good job. But that's about it. That's quite good.
Teresa.
Just a reminder that we're having the meeting for the festival committee on Wednesday at 5:00. Anybody wants to join us, we'll be in City Hall. Please come out and help us.
There you go. Allie?
No, except to thank everybody for the wonderful job that they did. I stayed in just because I stayed in. But from things I heard and saw and what have you, y'all did a bang-up job. Thank you. The community appreciates you.
Randall?
Only thing, I just want to get a number to whoever I need to call whenever that tank overflows so I don't have to bother you all the time.
That was due to the fact that the ice and snow was over the solar panel that's on top of the deal, the high tide situation that we use. It's all online. But when you start getting that much ice on top of the solar panel that's on top of the water tanks, they quit working properly.
I mean, I've always been caught with you, but it happens in the summertime too.
Right, right. Yeah. Well,
so
hey, Randall, I'll get with you.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you've been calling me, and I got him on the hotline. Yeah, ladies, cold line. We get him on the hotline in summertime. Is that all you got, Randall?
Yeah.
Okay, Tony.
No, just like everybody else did, I appreciate city workers. I was watching Caleb run that plow back my road, and that ice was thick, boy. He just patrolling that dirt road best he could. But in the county, looked good, the main road, too, because I went to Barstown 3 days ago. And my goodness, as soon as I got to Ballstown, I turned around, come on. Mm-hmm. It was so bad. He's down the same way. Mm-hmm. But Border County looking good.
Well, that ice was so thick and hard that even the scraper wouldn't take it up. So Eddie was out with the backhoe trying to bust it up. And then the county was stressed themselves. So we, in turn, as we always do, the mutual aid agreement that we have with them, we went out Sanders Lane and scraped and salted all that to the end. And we went to Harts Ferry. And that was so bad back in those trees, we had to take the backhoe and bust all that up. And that is part of the counties also, but they helped us so much that we picked that up and got that for them. So working in conjunction with each other, it worked. That's all that matters. Because Robert's always here for us and that group of men. So, Tim?
Same thing everybody else has said. It's just nice to see all the city workers out doing what you do to keep people safe and make the roads passable, and the police department, the fire department. And you know, I've been on this council, if I get elected again, it'll be 36 years I've been on this council. And I have seen this community work with the county and the other counties around us more in the last 10 or 15 years than I've ever seen. And it makes a difference. And it used to be where you could see where the county stopped and where the cities took over. You don't see that anymore. But you go to other counties and you see it. So I praise Judge for what you're doing and for what people's doing. So for that, that's all I can say.
Well, I appreciate it. And I don't think you had time to sign up, but Dallas Harshfield, the school board, would you like to say something?
Thanks, Mayor. Council, it's good to see everybody. And I just want to commend you, Mayor and Council, and Judge, Caleb. What you guys did with the roads were amazing. We'd be out of school another week if it wasn't for all the dedication that you guys did. Just kind of tell everybody what kind of relationship or what kind of mayor and judge that you have in the county. I took the board seat and never ran for political office, never really had much interest in it. And they nominated me right away as legislative liaison on the board. And those two guys embraced me right away, called me in their office. Tell you a little story, just a quick story. I'll take your time, just a few minutes, but first decision that came to my desk when I took the seat of the board was an awful decision about closing the school in the west side of the county, and I wouldn't even entertain it. And I went down and talked to Judge, and I said, Judge, if this ever happens, would the county come in there and make sure that community is taken care of? Because I come from South Louisville. They close schools and it turns into war zones. And I was not interested in seeing that happen in Bullock County. Judge, you remember that conversation?
Yep.
You said you'd take care of it, wouldn't you?
And we are. And if I can distill down on that a little bit,
sure.
We've also got the Red Cross, FEMA, and the Kentucky Emergency Management lined up to go into that facility as the negotiations go right with the school board.
Yeah.
We have that commitment already. So they'll be here permanently.
And they'll be taken care of.
They'll be taken care of all the way around. We're viewing that as an asset and opportunity for our county.
Yeah. So I just, for one, like to thank you. Dr. Bacon wanted to be here tonight with me. He's in Frankfort. We're working on a big project for the community. Another thing, when I came and joined the board, test scores are important. I'm not going to downplay them, but I'm more interested in the kids that says, okay, what can I do if I don't go to college? What can I do with my hands? What can I do with my brain? What can I do to build things? So I'm huge on trade. And I took a little trip down to Warren County, and they have 155,000 square foot facility just for trade folks. And we're advocating on Bullock County's behalf at the legislature to do something very similar to that in Bullock County. So that's where Dr. Bacon is. And he's advocating heavily on our behalf to get that money in here and to give this community something like that, because we would really, really benefit from it. So some news for Bullock County Public Schools. One, I don't know if you heard much in the news about our schools possibly being closed for voting. Thankfully, the county clerk and the board has great job, Mayor, on, I know we have a bus situation. We've been on the phone an awful lot talking about coming up. It's not just a school issue, it's a community issue, isn't it? And we're working together to do that. So tonight I did bring David Phelps. He's the Director of Transportation for Bullock County Public Schools. I told him how awesome you guys. It's never a fire squad when I walk in here. You guys always treat me with love. Tim, you've always taken me in on those breakfasts on Saturday mornings. So would you, I try to articulate exactly what you guys are doing and how you handle the crisis that we've got going on. I think you can probably tell it a little bit better than I could.
Yeah, if you have any questions, I can speak this a little bit. Just the simple truth of the matter is we don't have enough, especially substitute bus drivers. Our county operates 76 routes, and we have 76 bus drivers. But the minute anybody gets sick, then there's not enough to cover it. Now, we do have some substitutes that will come in, but they work at will, if you know what I'm saying. So it's the Friday before Christmas break. Well, they don't want to work because they're going off with their family or whatever. And then in some parts of the county, we also have, because we're needing substitutes, we'll work with people. So I got a nice lady come to me and she says, I'm retired, I'm 60, whatever it is, 7 years old. I really don't want to drive all over the county, but I live here in Mount Washington and I know the area. If you have any routes here in Mount Washington, I'll drive them. So some days we have a shortage and we cover Mount Washington, but we don't cover Lebanon Junction or Bullitt Central or something like that. So we desperately, and we're recruiting. I sent over to Emily Parrott, who's in the board for the HR department, 3 new applications today. But it takes such time, and it's always for me a carrot out there that we're after to get that caught up. And I feel like attrition is a little higher with bus drivers than other. I feel like the average age of teachers is probably in the 40s. The average age of bus drivers probably closer to 60s. And so they're sick a little bit more, and they retire a little bit, at least as much, we'll put it that way. We do have some amazing people. We don't have enough of them. And that's where we're at. And I know Lebanon Junction has suffered, and so have some other communities as well. And it kind of comes and goes. We do have people driving, too. And I'm not allowed, of course, to speak to people's particular situations. I can't tell you about this one or that one. But we have people driving that you would think maybe shouldn't be. We have a couple that they want to serve the community. We've got one lady who has leukemia, who drives a bus most days when she can. We have another one that has MS, who drives a bus most days when she can. And some of those things, but that because of those extremities, they do have they have to go to the doctor quite a bit. But anyway, I'll just leave it at that. Unless you have questions. Believe me, if there's anything that I lose sleep over, it's not having enough bus drivers. It really is. And scheming over, thinking about how to recruit, it's gotten harder from the state level, of course. Restrictions always are added. They're never reduced. And, of course, the whole thing with the driver's license things is hilarious, too, because when we get a new recruit, they have to go take a test, a written test. They have to go take a driving test. And you know how hard it is to get a driving test scheduled. I know the legislature is working on some of that. I think it'll help some because it'll spread it out, but I don't think they're going to necessarily fix it from the CDL side. But anyway, I won't take your time unless you have things you want to ask me.
One thing I mentioned to somebody the other day was, I believe I was correct in doing so, what you just said about Mount Washington. Somebody asked me about driving the bus, and they would be able, possibly, if they knew the routes in this town, to drive as a substitute for this town and not be obligated to go anywhere else if somebody had the time and the will to want to do that. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
Because they would be obligated
we'll
to go
take
to
the help wherever we can get
I mean,
it.
If it was somebody who lived here, retired, and wanted to drive a bus as a substitute, they would be obligated only for this town.
If that's what they want to do, yeah.
Right.
The substitutes kind of work at will. And we got, a couple of them in the north end up in the Hillview area. Guy gets off of work at 2 o'clock. He says, I can be over at the school at 2:10, but I can't go to the other schools because I couldn't get there in time.
Right.
So he'll jump on there sometimes 10 minutes after he gets off work in North Bullitt School, but he can't drive. It's solve
right.
Your problems. So.
Do you ever recruit outside of Bullitt County?
What's that?
Young recruit out there.
Yes, we even have drivers in Indiana that come over here.
My best friend, mom and dad, they were driving in Louisville, and they said they had enough of Louisville's lane. Now they drive in Boyd County. So I had a few other friends, their parents, looking for a job, so I put the word out.
And let me just say this. We recruit and train, and I myself, I used to work in a different part of the school district. I myself have trained. I'm a certified school bus driver trainer, and I myself have trained over 100 people. But over the years, they've aged out, some of them. But we can get people there, even if they don't have the license. And driving the bus isn't as hard as some people think it is. In fact, I'm thinking about the next campaign saying, come drive a bus today. We'll put you on there and let you drive it around the facility, and you can see that it's not as hard and scary as some people think it is. It's got all those beautiful mirrors on it. It's all automatic. It's not as scary as some people are afraid of. So I'll shut up unless you have something.
They got air conditioning too, don't they?
The new ones are starting. And actually, with the special needs together, Ed, the new ones and the special needs, we have about a third of our fleet has air conditioning.
Well, your problem is not an isolated problem.
No.
It's nationwide.
93% of school districts, the last study I saw, need bus drivers.
Good luck with all that.
Yeah.
Well, with that, I'm just proud everybody showed up tonight. We got a really diversified group from the school, from Tom Barr from the Pioneer News. I always ask Tom if he's got anything to say, he always grins. Joe Rahill, who had a big part on fiscal court as far as some of the stuff that we have going on as far as the EMS and the ambulance building when he was in office the last time. So fire department, police department, the library, the chamber. I'm blessed. You want to say anything?
No, sir.
Okay. What time is it?
It's 18:58. It's time to I make a motion to adjourn.
Motion made to adjourn, regularly seconded. Call the roll, please.
Allie?
Yes.
Tim?
Oh, stay a while. No, I'm good.
Jim?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
Randall?
Yes.
And Tony?
Yes.
Thank y'all. Appreciate it.